This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. In fantasy football, sleepers can win you championships, and that's why I am here. Every episode is just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
From KMOX Sports.
Okay, boys, here we go.
Welcome to the Grape Bar Sports Open Line.
Those bit swings, and he hits a drive. He hits a slammer.
Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
Here we go.
Now, Matt Pauly on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
All right, man, let's get going here.
Here we go. Let's go.
On a Tuesday night, we welcome you in. It's time for a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name's Matt Pauly. Only have you for about a half hour or so. We'll get out of here early today for SLU women's basketball. They are at home at Chaffetz Arena this evening as they match up against Murray State. That's going to be a 7 o'clock tip-off. That means our coverage begins at 6:45. We got a few things to get to between now and then, so we're going to jump right in. As always, if you want to chime in on what we're talking about, best way to do so tonight is to text into the program at 314-436-7900. That's 314-436-7900. Or you can tweet at me if you'd like, at Matt Pauly on air, M-A-T-T-P-A-U-L-E-Y on air is how you get in contact with me on Twitter. Blues are in action tonight. They are opening up a Canadian road trip. They are in Winnipeg for a matchup against the Jets. We'll hear a little from Blues coach Jim Montgomery coming up in our next segment. But I want to jump off with something that really, it's been talked about a lot, and we'll probably talk about it a little bit more as we get some full shows in later on this week. But the idea that was floated out by Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred about potentially adding to the game of baseball the golden at-bat rule. You ask, what is a golden at-bat rule? Well, that sounds kind of weird. Well, you're right, it is kind of weird. What a golden at-bat rule is in the seventh inning or later, a team could essentially pinch hit with any player, even a player who's already playing in the game. So let's say you want Alec Burleson hitting, and he's hitting second that day, and the seventh spot in the order is coming up, and you got a runner on at third, and one out, and you're down by a run, and you feel like he gives you the best chance. You can take him off the bench or take him from wherever, and you can just all of a sudden bat him in the middle of a game. And that is something that Rob Manfred in a podcast said is being discussed by Major League Baseball owners. Now, we've seen some We've seen some new and somewhat innovative things added to the game of baseball in recent years. Changes have been made in recent years. Obviously, the designated hitter is a universal thing now. We don't have National League rules. The runner on at second in extra innings, the pitch clock, the larger bases. There's just a lot of the not throwing over more than two times. And then if you throw over a third time and you don't get them, they take a base. Like, there's all these things that have been added to baseball. And some of those things I was for and some of those things I was against when they happened, I would sit here and tell you that I like the vast majority of those rules. Like, in theory, I don't love the idea of the runner on at second and extra innings because I don't like the way how it impacts that game. But I think it's one of these things where the greater good outweighs everything else. The greater good of you play a 17-inning game and all of a sudden you're sending pitchers down to AAA and bringing guys up and you're pitching, you're short in the bullpen for days after. Like, all those things that are bad for baseball were pretty much fixed by the runner on at second and games not going as long. I think that there is a greater good there that has happened. And sometimes we don't see it in the moment, but if we take a step back and really reflect upon how the runner on at second and extra innings actually impacts the games moving forward beyond that actual game, there are obvious benefits to it. the very limited benefit of the golden at-bat rule is going to be a handful of cool moments. I won't run away from that. If you're the Yankees and you get to just choose to put Aaron Judge into a run-scoring situation in a one-run game in the eighth or ninth inning, yeah, that's an exciting moment for everybody involved. And that's why the idea of this is something that Rob Manfred is thinking about. But it takes away so much from the game. It takes away the strategy. It takes away teams doing what they do throughout a game to align their bullpen in a certain way, the way they want to navigate through a lineup, like all these things that are very important. And what's the benefit? What's really the benefit? Because at the end of the day, everything baseball does to change the game, it has to have a benefit. It has to have a benefit to the game. And like I just said, you may not like the runner on at second in extra innings in the moment, but there is a benefit to that in the games going forward. You might not like the fact that there's bigger bases now. I've heard from some people who really don't like that for some reason, but there is a benefit to that. There's a health benefit to it. You may not like the pitch clock, but there is a benefit. Games going shorter and being played in more swift fashion does draw up interest. TV ratings have been up significantly since the pitch clock was installed. There are all these like actual impactful benefits to changes that have been made to the game. And if you put this golden at bat rule in, there's a momentary benefit that you get that cool manufactured moment, but that's not a real benefit. That's not something that's actually helping the game of baseball. It's just not. And it hurts it more than anything else. So my belief would be that, you know, Manfred can sit here and say that there's a lot of owners that are interested in this, and I'm sure there are some, but my belief is that most owners of baseball teams love the game of baseball. Now, are they billionaires who like to make money too? Yep. But my belief is that they love the game of baseball. And I don't think any owner who loves the game of baseball would be pushing for this to happen. I haven't talked to them. I'd be interested to hear what they would say, but I have a hard time believing that anybody in the DeWitt family would be interested in the golden at-bat rule. It's terrible. It's terrible. And I like, you know, they floated out the idea when of the DH being connected to starting pitching. Like, that's kind of a wacky rule where you would have a DH, but once you lost your starting pitcher, the DH would go away and basically the game would revert to National League rules where the pitcher would be hitting once the starting pitcher is out of the game. That's a wacky rule. I see benefit to that. I don't hate that idea. I can kind of take it or leave it. I like the idea of having the strategy of a National League game late. And I like the idea of starting pitchers pitching deeper into games. Like I like all the reasons for it. I don't like the gimmicky nature of it. So there are gimmicky type things that I can see a benefit for. There's no benefit here. This is just a terrible idea all the way around. Later on this week, we'll take your comments on it. We don't have time today because we've got the short show before SLU basketball. I would think most people would generally agree with what I'm saying right now, would be interested to talk to somebody who didn't, and we'll look for that person over the next few days when we do this program. We'll bring this back up. But up next, we'll preview the Blues game as they are in action tonight, opening up a Canadian road trip in Winnipeg to take on the Jets. We'll hear a little from Blues head coach Jim Montgomery. We'll do that next. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. It's a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. Have about 20 minutes left in the program. We're leading you into coverage of St. Louis University women's basketball. They're in action tonight, hosting Murray State at Chaffetz Arena. 7 o'clock at tip-off, our coverage at 6:45. The Billikens come in with a 3-5 record. Also going on tonight, the Blues are in action. They are opening up a 4-game Canadian road trip where they will play in Winnipeg, Calgary, Edmonton, and Vancouver. So tonight they match up against Winnipeg. Winnipeg. Few headlines going into this game. Joel Hofer is going to start in goal. He is a Winnipeg native, so a cool chance for him to start in his hometown. Pavel Buchnevich will not play. He is going to miss his second game dealing with a lower body injury. Did skate this morning during morning skate. He is getting close, and Jim Montgomery expects him to play very soon, maybe even this next game that is going to be coming up against Calgary. That seems to be the likely time frame for him to return. Nick Leddy was on the ice for morning skate this morning as an extra defenseman. We'll see when he gets back into the lineup. Philip Broberg and Colton Pareko were paired together as the top defensive pairings. That is somewhat interesting as well. So with that, let's go into some of the things that Jim Montgomery had to say leading into this game tonight, speaking after morning skate. And he actually was not very happy with the way morning skate went.
I was not happy with the way we were prepared to start. We're only going to be out there 18 minutes. Should be a good 18 minutes. And that's, you know, I know we had a day off yesterday, but you can't be sluggish. We're all here to do a job, and we got to do our job.
This is a Winnipeg team that they're matched up against tonight that really had an incredible start to the season. They won their first 8 games, and they won 15 of their first 16. However, they have lost 3 in a row and 4 of their last 5. So for, you know, you never really like being that team going to a place matched up against a team that's really good, that's been losing recently, because you feel like at some point in time that's going to start to turn around. And Montgomery did say that they are expecting a tough challenge tonight.
I think it's a great challenge for our group because we know that, you know, with the great season Winnipeg has had, that lately it hasn't been to their standard that they started the season with. So we know it's going to be a hornet's nest, and I'm anxious to see how our group responds right from the start.
The Blues are coming off a game on Saturday at home against Philadelphia. They ended up losing it in overtime 3-2. So they do collect a point, and honestly, they kind of stole a point in that game. They did not play particularly well, but they've got at least a point in all 3 games that Montgomery has coached. They've got a 2-0-1 record since he took over. And as Montgomery reflected upon that Philadelphia game and then kind of compared to his expectations for tonight, he explained what he wants to see his team do better this evening.
Starting on time, being more connected, our first 3 strides in transition towards both nets needs to be significantly better, and we got to manage our odd man rushes against.
You know, something that we talk about a lot is the coach's bump. And what that is when there is a coaching change, a team is going to start playing better for a temporary amount of time before kind of regressing back to who they were or who they are going to be. That is a very common thing. I think sometimes it's connected to players kind of waking up when there's a coaching change, being more receptive of a new voice and not tuning it out. Sometimes taking the best stuff from the previous coach and the best stuff from the new coach, and those 2 things kind of come together for a little while. There's a lot of reasons that that happens. And it's something that does happen a lot in sports. Montgomery was asked about that, but he feels like if there was a coach's bump with him coming in, even just 3 games into his tenure, that it already is over.
To be honest, if there was a coach's bump here, it wore off last game. That's why it's important that we start on time and we get back to the habits that we think and the pace that we need to play with to try and have success in this league. Very humbling league if you don't.
It is pretty clear that the Blues are playing better hockey since Montgomery has taken over. And it's a unique situation because he's walking into a room where he knows a lot of the guys, not all of the guys, but he knows a lot of the guys. And even just 3 games into his tenure, as he assesses what's going on, he does say that having those prior relationships is helping him do the job and helping the team play well and helping with connections and all those sort of things.
For me, being able to come and work with Shen, Falk, Pareko, Thomas, Kyrou, all those guys that were here, you know, it allows you already to push guys if you need to, because you already have that prior relationship.
We mentioned earlier that the top defensive pairing in this game today is going to feature Colton Parayko along with Philip Broberg. There was talk about each of those players, and I found this interesting. Parayko is one of those guys that Montgomery knows and he's comfortable with, but according to Montgomery, as he sees Parayko, he sees a bit of a different guy than who he was when Montgomery left the Blues.
You know what I like most about Parayko? He's changed. He's become a very aggressive player, offensively and defensively. And when he gets a shot now, he takes it and he puts it at the net because he knows what a weapon it is.
And then one of the players that Montgomery did not have a prior relationship with coming in is Philip Broberg. Obviously, he has in his first year with the Blues, so not somebody that was around when Montgomery was here as an assistant. And Montgomery's been impressed, but he's only seen Broberg play one game, and he says that at this point he's still learning about the guy.
It's too early for me to give you a great analysis of him. He's played one game, and from what everybody told me, that was probably his worst game as a Blue, and I was pretty happy with it, so I'm excited about what he can be.
And then the final thing from Montgomery, we mentioned that Joel Hofer is going to be starting in goal today. He is starting in his hometown. He is a Winnipeg native. This is not the first time he's going to get the opportunity to play at home. Starting in Winnipeg last season, faced 32 shots, allowed 4 goals in what turned into a loss. But all that being said, Montgomery, really happy to be able to get Hofer this start in his hometown.
It is a big deal, and what I love about Hof is his mentality. You know, he wants the net. He works hard, arduously every day to get prepared for his next start, and I just love his mentality. And he's following, you know, the guy in front of him. Binner is a great leader, and he shows him how to be a pro every day.
So that's Jim Montgomery speaking earlier today. The Blues are in Winnipeg. That game is scheduled to have its puck drop in about 30 minutes. 7 o'clock tonight in Winnipeg. And this, when you go on these type of trips, 4-game trip, they're going to play today, Thursday, Saturday, and then next Tuesday. So they're gone over a week. These trips can wear on you, and it's important to have some success early on in the trip. That way, if you stumble late in the trip, you're able to still look back at it and have yourself some success overall. So that's what they are going to try to do. Again, they match up against Winnipeg this evening. I don't know about you. I'll keep saying this over and over and over until it's not true anymore. But my interest in this team, and it's partially my job to be interested in this team, and talking about this team prior to the coaching change, like it wasn't something I was passionate about. It wasn't something that was honestly a whole lot of fun. And we've discussed so much how just bringing in Jim Montgomery has already added a personality. And that's what you want. When you want to talk about teams, you want to talk about teams that have personalities because they're fun. And there's still a lot of time left, and a 3-game sample size of Montgomery is not much. And this is still a core group of players that got Craig Berube fired and essentially got Drew Bannister fired. Like, there's still one coaching change does not fix everything. There are still issues that we need to see whether or not Montgomery is going to have the ability to fix some of these things, or whether or not some bad habits and some bad culture type things that have existed over the past couple seasons, if they start to permeate their way back in. But at least for the moment, it's a whole lot more fun to be able to talk about this team after they make the coaching change. And I'm a little bummed for Montgomery that he just gets the one. He comes in the middle of a stretch of a lot of games on the road because they played those 3 East Coast games. He took over on the 2nd of that 3-game trip when they played the Islanders, Rangers, and Devils. He came in for that Rangers game, 1 game at home against Philadelphia, and then back out again for 4 straight games on the road. He's not really going to get an opportunity to have an extended stay at home for a while. They'll play 3 out of 4 between December 12th and December 17th, but then it isn't until you get into January that they've got a stretch where they're at home for 4 games or more from January 9th to January 16th. They'll play 4 straight games at home, but just kind of a tough time to come in. Although at the same time, I say that in many ways, when professional sports teams go on the road, There's less distractions, especially around the holiday times. You don't have the errands that you need to run and the gifts that you need to pick up and all that sort of stuff. So maybe in some ways being on the road so much here at the beginning of Montgomery's tenure can actually be a good thing, because there can be so much of a focus just on hockey for guys at a time where Montgomery's going to be trying to work some things in. We'll take one more break when we come back. Got a couple more things that we want to get into before we do call it a night, and then we're going to get out of here for SLU women's basketball. They match up against Murray State this evening. Our coverage in 12 minutes at 6:45. Tip-off at 7 o'clock from Chaffetz Arena. We're back with more in just a moment right here on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Have a little breaking news before we get out of here for St. Louis University women's basketball. The new college football playoff rankings are out. Now, mind you, these rankings actually don't mean anything. It's the final rankings that mean everything. And as we have seen before from the committee, they will make some changes going into those final rankings. So maybe we look a little something into this, but not too much. The thing to remember is we look to the bottom of the rankings, 12 teams into the playoff, but the top 11 teams in the rankings will get in because there is not a Big 12 team in the top 12. So whoever wins the Big 12 championship will get in. Interestingly enough, there is a Mountain West team in the top 12 in Boise State. They're going to match up against UNLV. If Boise State loses that game, they fall out of the top 12 in all likelihood, and then UNLV ends up getting in there instead. So, that could play out in that direction, just depending on the way things do end up going. But, so this is where it's at the bottom. Now, Kyle Sixta is here. Kyle, real quick, just the final, let's see, from 11 through 14, there are four teams in there, and I'll just hand them to you randomly. So one of these four is in the number 11 spot. Which one do you think is most deserving? This is in no particular order. Ole Miss, South Carolina, Alabama, Miami. Who do you think is sitting? Have you seen it yet?
I haven't,
okay.
No.
Who do you think is sitting in the 11 spot? So if the season were to end right now, this team would be in the college football playoff of those four.
That's tough. I'd probably guess Alabama.
You are correct.
Yeah.
Alabama is sitting at the 9-3. Alabama moves up two spots and they leapfrog over Miami. So Miami, as it sits right now, is the first team out. Miami drops six spots after their loss to Syracuse. Ole Miss up one spot to number 13. So if the season ended right now, they would be the second team out. And then South Carolina, who I think you can easily make the argument is playing the best football of those four teams, South Carolina is the last one in. So the thing to watch, the two things to watch this upcoming weekend, there will be things that can shuffle the order of seeds, but the games that can impact actually who's in and who's out. The Mountain West Championship game will have a little bit of an impact with Boise State and UNLV. Boise State is sitting at number 10. UNLV is sitting at number 20. And then the one that's really going to impact things is the ACC Championship game, which is Clemson and SMU. If Clemson wins that game, that's SMU's second loss, but it's their second loss in a conference championship game. Clemson would get into the college football playoff. Would that be enough to knock SMU out, or would they stay in those top 11 spots? Right now, they're number 8. Clemson right now is number 17. That would be interesting if it came down to... I like chaos, so in some ways I am rooting for Clemson to beat SMU just because I want to see what happens in that scenario. What if they really would put a two-loss SMU team in over Alabama, which I think they should, because a one loss, if SMU would not have gone to the ACC championship game even with one loss, they're in. They're number 8 right now. You shouldn't be penalized that much for losing a conference championship game. So we'll talk more about this over the next few days, but certainly some interesting things happening here on the college football playoff rankings. SLU women's basketball, it's next here on KMOX.